We thank you for a wonderful day that you've given us. Thank you for each one of the students, their desire to learn. I pray that you'd help me, give me wisdom and direction as I teach. Lord, that it be clear, and Lord, that we'd learn things from your word that we might be able to put them into practice in our life and become better Christians because of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Any questions from last week? I'm sorry I was not here, but I'm not sorry I was not here.
The blanks on page 3 specifically?
All the blanks?
Okay, get the blanks from somebody, one of your mom or one of your moms. What's that?
I've got them all.
I've got them all.
Okay.
Yeah, well, my
I've got them all.
That way we can keep going, yeah.
So you talked about the qualifications of being an apostle.
Right.
Something I've always wondered is, are those given in Scripture? I've heard a lot of people say, and I understand that all of the apostles were those things.
Yeah.
But was that necessarily a requirement to be an apostle? So for an example, there can be 5 people talking in a group, and they all happen to be 6 foot. That doesn't mean they all had to be 6 foot in order to talk in that group. Is there any particular spot in...
Peter was not 6 foot.
But that's something I've wondered is, can I use that in an argument? Is that given in Scripture?
Yes. Yes. Where is it in my notes here? Come on. Qualification to be apostle. Let me get, that's a good question. I've got it in my notes. I just can't find it right off the top of my head. But I will get that to you. And yes, the qualifications are in the Scriptures. So we'll go ahead and get that back to you. That way you can have it. My mind don't work as fast as it used to, but we'll get that. Yeah, anything else? Quickly. We've got a lot to cover. Cheryl, thank you very much for bringing ice cream last time. I did not. I thought that was a very wonderful gesture, even though I didn't get one. Okay, let's get into this. Any questions on the difference between the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the filling of the Holy Spirit?
Okay. There have been certain things that I know, like people will say that when they got saved, that the Holy Spirit came down upon them the moment they got saved. And so I know that's not true, and the Holy Spirit's in us. When you're not saved, the Holy Spirit is just not active.
Yeah.
And so what would be the right way to respond to that?
It's terminology. People use different phrases for the same thing. And, you know, to say that, you know, the Spirit came on me, or, you know, I didn't know the difference when I got saved. All I knew is I got saved. And whether I would have called it that he came to indwell me, I'd never heard those terms. That's what actually happened. Okay, but some people might refer to it as, you know, I got the Holy Spirit, or you know, I several different things. You know, he came on me or something. That's just terminology, but it's the rest of the things they're saying that is important that you get a hold of. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit, what is that? What is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Yes, ma'am?
Salvation.
The very mega second that you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes and indwells your being. Okay? How many times does it happen? Once. That's the difference. And that's why they confuse. They will mix these terms up and confuse them. And it really causes a lot of confusion because they're mingling these terms together. The filling of the Holy Spirit can be many, 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 many times and will be in a believer's life throughout his Christianity. Okay? As the Word of God works in my heart and shows me that I'm a sinner, shows me these things are not right in my life, I confess them and ask God to remove them, and that gives more room. He can take that place, the place of the sin, take place of whatever the object is that's in my life. The object may not be sin in itself, but God says, you don't need to be doing that. Then what I do is yield myself to the Word of God and to the Spirit of God, and then He controls that area of my life. And so little by little, each area, He keeps gaining that filling, if you please, okay? So it's many different times and many different places, and I've got to go ahead and do it like this, don't I? Okay, here we go. All right, so you must know the difference between the baptism and the filling of the Holy Spirit. Baptism of the Spirit is a one-time act. It places those who believe into the body of Christ. That is extremely important. How do you get into the body of Christ? By the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we will get into that even more so tonight. So, then being filled with the Spirit is when God's Word works daily in the believer. And then the believer yields themselves, allowing the Spirit control. Thus, he fills the believer with the Spirit. Okay? Clear as mud? More and more it'll become evident as we go along. Now, being filled with the Holy Spirit is mentioned 9 times in the book of Acts. Okay? What?
9 times.
What?
9 times.
What?
9 times.
Hello?
9 times.
Hello?
You're putting it under 9 times.
Hello? So many people miss this. Show me in the Bible where it talks about being filled with the Holy Spirit outside of Acts. If you are going to find out something about a particular doctrine or subject, you go to where it is mentioned. You don't make assumptions. You see what it says. And 9 times... in the book of Acts, the filling of the Holy Spirit is mentioned. So, what we need to do is we need to go to those places and look for the characteristics of the Spirit. Exactly a good illustration you made. There may be a bunch of people in here that are 6 foot, okay? But how many of them got blue eyes? So you're looking for different characteristics. Everything has its characteristics. If I'm going to talk about Brian, now, okay, I won't. If I'm going to talk about Brian, even though you don't want me to, he has different characteristics than this Brian, even though we have the same name. And we won't go into the characteristics, okay? The same thing with filling of the Holy Spirit. I was just going to give you an assignment to go ahead and throughout the rest of this time, or to the rest of the course, to go back and find out the different characteristics of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, there may be 5 guys that have blue eyes, and 1 guy may have green eyes, okay? You go to another 6 people and you look for those same characteristics, and if they're there and they've got blonde hair, then you're starting to put things together. You may have 1 characteristic appear 1 time, but not the rest of the time. So is that a characteristic of what you're looking for? And the answer is no. That's just a happenstance that may be somewhat associated with the event, but not with the filling of the Holy Spirit. You go down here and here's something else that happens. And you say, wait a minute. This guy got healed. Is healing a characteristic of being filled with the Holy Spirit? But you find out that that only happened one time out of all nine times. So what you do is you make your list and you get all of the characteristics you can find. And you pull them all together and find out what actually is the characteristic of being filled with the Spirit. You talk to one guy down here in Pentecostal church, he'll say speaking in tongues. You look to another one and they'll say raising the hands. You'll say, talk to another one, and he'll say, falling on the floor and wiggling like a worm, you know, in the services and stuff. I've been slain in the spirit. How do you know which is the characteristics? I'm glad you asked. There was one more time there. Sorry, I lost control. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18 says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. He tells us to be filled with the Spirit. Luke chapter 1, John the Baptist is filled with the Spirit. Zacharias, Elizabeth, all of these different things, they're happening, but what are the characteristics? What is happening when people are filled with the Spirit? Now, is it tongues? Is it speaking the word of God? Is it 3,000 people getting saved? Is it boldness? Is it Jesus being crucified 50 days earlier? What is it? So let's look at each one of them. And it's going to take some time, but we're going to go through each one, and I want you to see the characteristics every time when it talks about being filled with the Spirit here in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Okay? Now, you've got my notes. I got to have my notes.
That's fine.
Okay, thank you very much. Some special students think they're special, amen.
Careful what you say.
Yeah. You're too old for your britches, that's what you are. All right. In this passage, it says where they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they began to do what?
What?
Speak. Okay? So that's a little word and don't mean much. Yes, it does. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. All right? Now let's go on down in that passage. You might as well just go ahead and turn there in your Bible if you're not already to the book of Acts. We're going to be there a little bit. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. The word tongue there in verse number 4 is the word glossa. G-L-O-S-S-A, glossa. It means language. That is the meaning, that's the term language. Okay? Now, look in verse number 6 through 11. We're going to just skip a little bit of this because just for sake of time. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own what?
Language.
The word is dialectos. It means their own dialect. You don't have much of that here in America, but over in Africa, it might be Luganda, it might be Runyonkore, it might be Ateso. In their own dialect, they would understand. And the word is still translated here, language. All right, now, And they all were amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? He goes on, and how hear we every man in our own tongue? Isn't it amazing? That word tongue had been translated language in verse 4. The word tongue that's used here is the word dialectos. The same thing that was translated language in verse number 5, or 6 rather. Now, he goes on, Mede, Parthenian, Elamites, dwellers, Mesopotamia, and Judea, Cappadocia, and Pontus, and Asia, Persia, Pamphylia, and Egypt, and all the parts of Libya and Cyrene, the strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our glossa. The same thing was translated language before, or tongue. This is the word language. Now, what are they speaking in verse number 11? What are they speaking? They are speaking the wonderful works of God. All those verses in between, that first verse and verse 4, that's all an explanation of what's going on, but the sentence starts in verse 4 and it finishes here in verse number 11. They all begin to speak the wonderful works of God. Okay? We do hear them speak in our language the wonderful works of God. Everyone could understand. There was no interpreter. Okay? This is a different type of tongue than that of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Both are languages. But here there is no interpreter required. Everybody heard them in their own language, in their own dialect. In Corinthians, God says if you're going to do it in the church, you must have an interpreter. Show me one of these churches out here that has an interpreter for when they're doing their mumbo jumbo. They don't. It's unbiblical, okay? So, you have several different things here. Remember, Jesus was crucified 50 days earlier. Now, we come into this part. They were preaching. Where were they at here? Where were they preaching? Notice in Acts chapter 4, and verses 8 through 10. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done unto the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. All right, in that first passage in chapter 2, what were the two characteristics that you saw? Or maybe three, whatever you've seen. What did you see in chapter 2 that would be considered a characteristic? Okay, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. How do you know? What's that? Real loud, I'm deaf. What's that?
They were filled with the Holy Spirit.
Right, it does. But how do you know? What's the characteristic?
Speak with other tongues.
Okay. They spoke with other tongues. Is that the characteristic? Okay. We're wanting to get all the information here, and then we'll make our judgment here down the road. So what were they speaking? Well, they were speaking in tongues according to that, but what were they speaking?
Their own dialect,
Well, you're hung up on the tongue part. Go, the wonderful, who said it? The wonderful works of God. Okay?
It says here in verse 10, it says that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
But that's not necessarily characteristic. That's what they were saying. That was the word verbiage. Okay, so we've got, they're speaking the wonderful works of God, speaking in tongues, okay? So we come up with basically three things in that verse that it could be, the characteristics. Now let's come to this passage here in chapter 4. Who were the, it says right off the bat, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. But who were they preaching to?
Rulers and elders.
Hmm?
Rulers and elders.
Why? The rulers and elders had arrested them and brought them into the council. Okay, these are the elders of Israel, the big high muckety muck. They begin to do what? What are they doing here in that council? What'd they do? They preached the word of God. Look what it says down in verse number 10. Be it known unto you all and all the people of Israel by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye, what?
Crucified.
There's your death and burial. And whom God
raised from the dead.
Death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They were preaching the gospel. Be it known unto you, this is the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection. So, what do we see as any characteristics in this passage where he's talking about being filled with the Spirit? What would you say the first thing would be? They're preaching the gospel. Okay? Doesn't make any difference that there were Jewish leaders there. Are they speaking in tongues? No. So, that puts a big question mark on whether tongues are a characteristic. Okay, let's go on to the third thing. And also, to speak in front of those leaders, the church or the temple leaders, that took some boldness. I mean, they were bold and brassy. On the day of Pentecost, when they were preaching and preaching the wonderful works of God, they'd been in hiding. Now they come out in hiding and they're on the street corner, in the marketplace, whatever, proclaiming the wonderful works of God. You think they've got a little boldness there? I do. Look in number 3, Acts chapter 4 and verse 31. And when they had prayed, this is after they come out of a problem, you know, with being arrested and all that. When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. So what could be characteristic of being filled with the Spirit if you just read this verse? Huh?
Having boldness,
that's one. Speaking the word of God, that's two. What's that?
Filled with the Holy Spirit.
Well, yes, all of them are filled with the Holy Spirit, but, and I've heard, I've heard Pentecostals say this, the house was shaking. So that's what we're seeking. We're wanting God to shake this house, not this boy. I want nothing shaking around. The characteristics that we see here that are very clear, they're doing what? Same thing they did in chapter 2. They're proclaiming the word of God. How?
Boldly.
With boldness. What were they doing the second time when they're brought before the council? They proclaimed the word of God and did what? They did so boldly. What did they do here when they were filled with the Spirit? They spake the word of God with boldness. Are you starting to see a pattern here?
Yeah.
Tongues isn't mentioned here either. Tongues isn't mentioned in chapter 4 there. So what you can almost eliminate tongues as being one of the characteristics. Shake, the house shaking wasn't going on in chapter 1 or chapter 2, neither was it in chapter 4. So you can kind of rule out the shaking of the house, okay? So let's go to the fourth time it's mentioned. He said in Acts 6, 3 to 10, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." Now listen, they had to look for somebody filled with the Holy Ghost. You can tell if somebody is filled with the Holy Ghost. Otherwise, what were they looking for? When people start selecting deacons in churches, you know what they do? Do you work at the bank, or are you good at business? No. They're supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you can't tell when somebody's filled with the Holy Spirit, we've got a problem. Because we're not looking for the same thing that God is. So they're supposed to look for somebody that's filled with the Holy Spirit. Now look in verse 7. "And the word of God," what? "Increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great number of priests were obedient to the faith. And there arose certain of the synagogue, which was called of the synagogue of the Libertines and the Cyrenians and the Alexandrians and them of Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake." What characteristics do you see here? Yeah, they're all full of the Holy Ghost here, but what are they doing? They're preaching the Word of God. The Word of God increased. They're proclaiming that, okay? How do you know they're proclaiming the Word of God? People are getting saved. Said that the multitude, the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem. Even some of the priests were obedient to the faith. They got saved. So you have people getting saved. What happened on Pentecost in chapter 2? 3,000 people got saved. There's no indication that anybody got saved when they were in front of the council. But here, there's people getting saved. So we'll keep our eye on that. It's happened a couple times, but one time it wasn't. So we want to be honest all the way through. So when they were choosing deacons, they were making decisions for the church. They needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And those that they were seeking for had to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So they're looking for certain characteristics in these men. Okay? Now, let's go to number 5. Acts 7, 55, 57. "But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And he said, Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their" what? "Ears. And ran upon him with one accord." Now, what characteristics do we see here? Stephen, what's he doing? Huh? He's preaching the Word of God. To who? Just to the Jews, the Jewish crowd here. And he upset them by what he was speaking. And they start persecuting him. So much, when notice at the end there, they stopped their ears. That tells us that he was proclaiming the Word of God and they were listening and under conviction. They didn't like it a bit. And you know the results as we continued on. He got stoned. I didn't mean he was on drugs. He got stoned. You know, they rocked him to sleep. In this passage, when they're filled with the Holy Spirit, Do you think standing in front of a mob that's trying to tear you apart and you continue to proclaim the Word of God, how do you think, what's his attitude here? Pretty bold, isn't he? Boldness. You see in the pattern? Every one of them so far, there's two characteristics that have been there. Proclaiming the Word of God every time. And they were doing so with boldness. There's other things that are there, but they're not there the next time or the next time. So they're not necessarily characteristics of that. Okay? So, let's go to number 6. Not chapter 9, verse 17 to 20. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house and put his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way that as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be what? Filled with the Holy Ghost. And straightway he what? He preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Immediately, when Paul's filled with the Holy Spirit, does he heal somebody? Does he speak in tongues? Is the building shaking? None of that. He begins preaching the Word of God. Now, notice where he went. Where did it say he goes? Back to the synagogue. He was working for these birds. He come there to persecute and throw these people in jail that call themselves Christians. And now, he goes back with the Christian message to the synagogue, to those he's working for, and he proclaims Christ to them. What do you think his attitude was?
Bold.
A little bold? I remember an old boy. Remember No-No, Keith? Nono's an Italian, that Nono's grandpa in Italian, and Nono, he was next door neighbor and all of this, and Nono come over one day, and Nono got saved. He come back a little while later, boy, he'd been bawling, and he come back over there, he says, Pastor, he says, do you have some of them papers, them tracts? I said, yeah, so I brought it. No, he said, I need a bunch. Oh, okay, so got him all the tracts we had there, put them in a bag. He goes down to the front of the Catholic church that he grew up in. Now, this guy's in his 80s. He grew up in that church, born and raised in it, and he's out there in front of the Catholic church passing out tracts and telling people he just got saved. Boldness. I think I saw a man filled with the Holy Spirit because he began to proclaim the Word of God. He didn't know much. You don't have to know much. But God just led him to go down there and pass those tracts out. Boldness. Stephen was being persecuted. Now we come to Paul, and Paul has gotten saved on the road to Damascus, and he comes there, and Ananias lays hands on him. And it's not the laying on of hands, because that's happened over and over and over. But he came so that Paul could be filled with the Spirit, and immediately he goes out proclaiming the Word of God. Yes, sir.
So this might be reaching, but would you also say that Ananias was filled with the Holy Spirit too, because he had to have boldness to go to Paul?
I would say so. I think you're right. Okay. But the only difference in what we're doing is it doesn't specify he was filled with the Holy Spirit, but I have no doubt that he probably was, because what he was doing, proclaiming Christ to him, and also in a bold manner, because he was scared to death, Paul's going to get him. But we're just looking at those that say they are filled with the Spirit. Okay? Are we getting a pattern of the characteristics?
Yes.
I think it's becoming pretty clear here. Now, we'll see persecution in the Christians a couple different times. But other times, there is no persecution. So I don't think you can actually have that as a characteristic. Number 7, Acts chapter 11, verse 23-24. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. This is the story about Barnabas. They go back, comes from down Jerusalem, comes up to Antioch, and this is what they say about him. He was a good man. But he says he was full of the Holy Ghost and faith, and much people was added to the Lord. What characteristics do you see? That was a question, by the way. Preaching the Word of God? How do you know he's preaching the Word of God? Did it say that? How do people get added? By giving them the gospel, by preaching the Word of God. That's the right answer, but they were added, people were added unto the Lord. That's souls being saved. Okay? Now, there's no indication here that he had to be bold. But coming from Jerusalem, coming up to this church that they didn't know anything about and was checking them out, I dare say as he's preaching the Word of God here, that it's a good indication he may have been bold, but there's nothing said here, okay? So we don't want to read something really in that is not there when we make our conclusion, okay? Any questions on that passage? All right, number 8, Acts 13, 19, or 9 to 12. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost. He set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of the righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. So here we have a sorcerer. A sorcerer is causing problems for Paul here. Paul is trying to do what? What's he trying to do here?
Preach the gospel.
Preach the gospel to who? Huh? What's it say there in verse number 12?
Deputy.
To the deputy. This is an official, and Paul's trying to win him to Christ. He's trying to preach the gospel to him. This sorcerer comes up and giving him a hard time and trying to destroy what Paul was doing here, and Paul looked at him and basically said, God's going to fix your wagon, and he did. He turned him blind. And he's walking around with can't see and trying to find somebody to help him out the door. Is that a characteristic of being filled with the Spirit? You can make people blind and they can just, you know, start walking around crazy? Did that happen at Pentecost? Did it happen at the council? Did it happen? No. None of them. That's not the characteristic. That's just what was going on at that time. But it says down in verse number 12, then the deputy, when he saw what was done, did what? Believed, being astonished at what? Not of the healing, or the healing, of the casting, or making the man blind. He was astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Paul had been preaching to him the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as he gets saved, now, do you think Paul was a little bold?
No.
I mean, he's confronted by this sorcerer, and we've been in situations like that in Africa. It puts you on the back of your heels, boy, when somebody comes up, I don't care if he's a drunk or whoever, comes into service, and boy, they just disrupt and everything, and there's times when you have to be bold. And you've got to have the Spirit of God working in your life. So I think really the boldness of Paul here is evident. The deputy believed, which means that he had heard the gospel And he was listening to the doctrine of the Lord, the doctrine or the gospel that he's being preached. So I think you have the same characteristics again. They're proclaiming the word of God, and they're doing so with boldness. Okay? The other things are there, but they're just, that's just what was going on at the time in that issue. Number 9. Acts 13, 49-52, and the word of the Lord was published throughout the region. What was?
The word of the Lord.
The word of the Lord. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. But they shook off the dust of their feet against him and came to Iconium. The disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass at Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake, and a great multitude, both of the Jews and also the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil, affected against the brethren. Long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. What's the characteristics?
Proclaiming the word of God.
And how? With boldness. Over and over, the same thing. So now, the characteristics of being filled with the Holy Spirit, number one. And really get a hold of this. That way, when these people are trying to convert you to Pentecostalism and stuff, you know what you're talking about. And you can stand there with confidence and say, that has nothing to do with being filled with the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, and then go ahead and give them the gospel, because that's what we're trying to do. First of all, proclaiming the Word of God. And secondly, with boldness. So when you look for a deacon, who do you look for? The guy that has position in an office or something like that? No, you look for a soul winner. Somebody that is concerned about souls, that is preaching the Word of God, and they are bold, not arrogant, not foolish, but boldly proclaiming the Word of God. All of those other things were a one-time event. The tongues, the healing, the sorcerer blinded, Stephen being stoned, the house shaken. That was all just what was happening at the time, but they are not the characteristics. Yes, Brian?
Another one where it says, like you were just saying, all the things were a one-time event. It does only say joy one time, but wouldn't you say, I would think like a characteristic of being filled with the Holy Spirit, having God like working through you, you would be happy. So would you say joy?
No. Now, I agree with you. When you're soul winning, you're full of joy. You know? When you lead somebody to Christ, when somebody gets saved, I mean, your heart is filled with joy. But trying to be very honest with what we're doing, it only says joy one time. Although I think that probably it would be. We don't want to put something in there that is not, that he does not specifically state, okay? Otherwise, somebody will call you on it and they'll say, no. We're just going to go with exactly what God says in these times. So when are you, how's somebody, or how do you know somebody's filled with the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit? They're proclaiming the Word of God with boldness. Now, let me ask you something. Does God not command that we be filled with the Spirit?
Yes.
Are you filled with the Spirit? If we are, we will be. Doing what? Proclaiming the Word of God with boldness. We will be bold witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. We can make a checkup on ourselves. We don't have to wonder, am I not? We know if we're filled with the Holy Spirit, are we proclaiming the Word of God and doing so boldly? We'll start in chapter 2 next time. It's going to get good. Yes, ma'am.
What time does this class start?
It starts at 8:25. And it finishes 2 minutes ago.